It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
It's Masters Week. The Blues just won Game 1. The Blackhawks are making tee times. The Cardinals have won 4 straight. And the Cubs are 3-8. What a time to be alive. And I think that's a great quote. I think that kind of sums up how we all probably feel right now as St. Louis sports fans. But this is a Blues show, so let's talk about the Blues fans and how they feel. And I got to tell you, watching that game last night, to me, felt like I was watching the entire Blues season in one game. And it was exactly, it mirrored the season. They came out, and you could see what Winnipeg was trying to do to them. It was pretty evident. And we've talked about how this team is built and what they're probably best at, where they would be deficient and things like that. And there's no doubt at all that, you know, while we do have a couple of guys, I mean, we're not really built to go out and dominate somebody physically. If you look at the way the Blues were playing, if I was Winnipeg, I would have done the exact same thing. I would have came out and tried to impose my will on them because it is one of the things that I do have going for me. And boy, it sure looked like it worked at the beginning. It's funny. I heard somebody say it reminded them of Rocky IV, where Rocky goes in and he just lets the Russian beat the heck out of him. And then he kind of wears himself out, or he did it with Apollo too. I mean, the way he did it in every movie, you know, the guy would wear himself out and then Rocky would just beat him in the end, you know. I'm pretty confident the Blues wouldn't tell you they did that on purpose. Was it a factor? I don't know. Some players that are part of this team that maybe you didn't expect to, that haven't been in that type of setting before, that came through? Sure. I think it's all the above. But at the end of the day, you got some contributions both from veterans and young players, I think, across the board, whether they showed up on the stat sheet or not. You look at a couple of guys, Tyler Bozak, when the Blues signed him, I really liked the signing. I thought, man, this is a good two-way player. I thought, if this is your depth, you know, this is a good player. Now, the season starts out the way it starts, and you start thinking, man, what are we going to do? We need to make some significant changes. And you start thinking about, did he block Robert Thomas? Well, then the season kind of takes a different turn, and then you kind of look at the roster management, and I thought Craig Berube did a great job. Doug Armstrong obviously gave him some pieces that he had to manipulate a little bit. But now you look at it, and you say, holy cow, and then Tyler Bozak scores a massive goal for you. After, David Perron basically scores a massive goal for you in a massive setting. If the Blues would have lost that game 1-0, you know, what would we be saying today? What we'd be saying is, man, they got pushed around. I'm not quite sure they can handle this style of play. Winnipeg's probably going to steamroll them a little bit here. I expect my team to fight, but gosh, I just don't know if they're equipped to handle Winnipeg. Now you're looking at it going, well, I'm not 100% sure about that statement, but what I do know is we won game one, got a couple of big goals late in the game, and to be frank, it patterned itself after the season. I mean, started off really, really bad, got progressively better, and then the third period, I thought we played way better than them. And to finish it off, there's no doubt the best player of ours on the ice was our goalie. Binnington, by far, the best player on the ice. Now, we had some guys play a good game last night. There's no doubt. Braden Schenn played great. You know, and it's okay with me that, you know, that it worked out the way that it did. You know, you didn't really see him, you know, show up on the score sheet. But I'll take the seven hits, and I'll take the way he played the game. Alexander Steen, I haven't been the biggest Steen fan, but, you know, the way he handled himself in the third period for the St. Louis Blues, I think it says a lot. So the bottom line is your goaltender was your best player last night. And, boy, what a difference it makes. Because, yes, it was 1-0, but I think we all feel like it could have got out of hand if he doesn't make a few of these unbelievable saves. So we'll see what happens. But I have an interesting show today, as I'm happy to announce that I will have both Kimble and Rivs calling in, not in studio, but we're going to call them both. We're going to start with Mr. Kimble here in just a second. I got a giveaway from Mr. Noel Buckingham from Buckingham Pest Control. He texted me this morning, said he'd like to give away his two tickets behind the behind the goal where the Blues shoot twice for game six. And I got to tell you, when he told me this, I said, are you sure you want to give away game six tickets? He said, well, let's be honest. It's not like I'm not going to go. I'll find a way to go. But I think they're going to win this in six, and I want somebody else to enjoy what I think is going to be an unbelievable atmosphere. So he's giving away his tickets for game six. So we will tell you the details on that here in a little bit. Really, basically same as last time, so I'll remind you of those. We'll do that between interviews. But I want to bring in, you know, courtesy of some of the best people that you know in amateur hockey, the Nelson family, NelsonLandServices.com. You know, they come to us via Darren Kimble and Rivers, of course, too. But I know Mr. Nelson and Mr. Kimby are pretty tight. They've spent a lot of time on the road together watching their boys grow up and play hockey. And I think they're okay me saying they may have spent a little time together in a bar or two, maybe in this country and others and other cities, and had a libation or two and really enjoyed just becoming great friends, getting to know each other. And as I say all the time, the Nelson family, if you talk throughout the amateur hockey community, everybody knows them. They know their kids. They know what great kids they are. They know what a great family it is. But what you need to know is what an unbelievable landscaping company they have. NelsonLandServices.com, 5-star locally rated, affordable prices, and they do by far the best work you're going to find. If you've been down to the Ozarks and you've seen some of those beautiful homes down there and you look at the way the yards look, I mean, chances are Nelson Land Services is the ones that have done it. You know, it's the name you can know and trust down there. And as they've moved their business here into St. Louis as well, you can trust them with your needs. And that's NelsonLandServices.com. So let's bring in the man himself, as everybody loves it, to get him off the milk carton and onto the show. The one, the only, Darren Kimble. What do you say, Kimby?
What's going on, man? Pretty exciting time in St. Louis today, huh?
Yeah, it's funny. I quoted Gary's son, Brandon, as he said, and you'll appreciate this because you like them all. He said, it's Masters week. The Blues won game one. The Blackhawks are making tee times. Cardinals have won 4 straight, and the Cubs are 3-8. What a time to be alive. I think that pretty well sums it up, doesn't it?
Yes, that does. If you're a St. Louis fan, that just pretty well hits everything right there.
Yeah, not a good time to be a Chicago guy right now. But, hey, listen, I got to ask you, I know we've given you a lot of hell over the last few years because, you know, you went a while there where every other word out of your mouth seemed like it was Winnipeg. But the truth of the matter is, and rightfully so, you know, they play a style of hockey that I know, I think all of our fans know that you appreciate. I talked about at the Open that I felt like that game last night went exactly how I thought it would at the beginning. Now, I didn't know what the outcome would be, but I didn't think it took the rocket scientist in me to say that there's no doubt in my mind that Winnipeg was going to come out and try to impose their will on us, because that is something that they can do well, and I'm not quite sure it's something that we can do. So that made all the sense in the world to me. And in the end, my hat's off to the Blues for withstanding it. I'm not going to take my hat off to them for basically getting dominated in the first period. But in the end, their best player was their goalie, the Blues. And then they found a way to win in the third period. It's almost a microcosm of their whole season, the way this thing went. I don't know what you saw, but that's kind of what I saw.
Yeah, that pretty well sums it up. And you know, you listen to Chief at the end of the when he was talking in his press conference and that, and he just basically said, you know, they stuck with it. It's going to be a hard fought battle. They knew that going in. I think everybody knows that going in. And so it's going to be interesting going forward. You know, you get a win. I was sitting last night, Gromes, and my daughter, she was getting in the, I was at school and they were going across stage getting these things for school. And my phone buzzes off of my thing and I go see where Lion A scored. And I go, oh, ain't that some shit? You know, the guy been going in a big time slump. He scores a goal. They're up 1-0. I was, you know, Reaver was there. His daughter was walking across the straight stage too. And we were, I'm just going, don't tell me this is going to start up now. And, you know, then I got back. I had the game on tape. So I started watching it and seeing what was going on. And just like what you said, the first period wasn't that good, but the Blues all year long have withstood it. Their goaltender has kept them in the ball game. And boom, they find a way to win a game. And, you know, Patty Maroon's line, Bozak, you know, as the game got going on, they got playing better. And you know, they played, you listen to Chief, down low. That's where it's going to be won, down low. And that's what Patty Maroon brings to the game. And he went there, he threw the puck out. Bozak, he'd had a couple chances earlier, and finally he capitalized on it. So that's a huge win. You don't want to give a team that's struggling confidence. And that's what I was worried about when the Lion A scored his goal, because I said, well, he gets it. If they can't come back here, they're going to be fighting this animal going uphill. But if they come back, they fought it, and it was just nice to see from a St. Louis hockey team.
You know, I look at the game last night. You can look at the stat sheet will tell you some things, right? But if you watch the game, you know, it truly was. I mean, it was an uphill battle, right, that they come out on top of. So when I look at this game last night, though, I think about a couple players came to mind. I mentioned one of them early on. Tyler Bozak, what a huge goal. And I got to ask you, and I'll start with him, and then I'm going to move on to Pat Maroon, but they're both the same question, so let's just ask it. Here's a couple of guys that I'm not going to say weren't good in the season, but I think we had high expectations for both. So I don't know if it'd be correct for me to say they disappointed. I hate to use that term because look what the Blues did. And I think they both were a part of the resurgence for sure. But I think we had high hopes for them both. I think they were part of what was brought in. So I think there was a little bit of a highlight on them not doing what we thought when we were struggling. But I got to ask you, and I'm not saying it's okay for the Blues to struggle at the beginning of the year, but is this exactly what these two guys are here for, is to play in this setting? Because I think this setting is what their game is about.
Yeah, but going along with what you're saying, though, Cromes, the first half of the season was absolutely terrible for both of them. I don't care what you say. They were brought in, and Bozak comes in with a pretty good dollar amount coming in. He's going to be the third center or maybe second center. We didn't know what was going to go on. And Maroon was going to come in. Local boy was going to come in and, you know, be the big guy in front of the net on the power play, demand, you know, run the corners and that. And the first half of the season was terrible. I don't care what anyone says. It was terrible. And, you know, when all this goes on when Chief gets brought in as the coach, Bennington gets brought into the game, and everybody, for some reason, after Christmas, and maybe it was under their Christmas tree, I don't know what the hell was going on, but they all got a present that they're going to play hockey the way they were supposed to. And these two guys here picked their game up, and it just helps. It makes you a full team. You know, if Tarasenko doesn't score, scoring's got to come from somewhere else. And, you know, and the two guys that scored last night, that's a prime example. That's what they were there for. I wasn't high on the first guy, Braun. You know, I'm on tape. I wasn't a big thing, but he found a way to score. He's had a great year. I'll eat my words on that. So he throws the puck in the net, it goes in. But those are the guys, Patty Maroon, he's going to, when you get to playoff time, you have to find these guys that take their game to another level, because the Tarasenkos and that, everyone knows what they're going to be doing. The O'Reillys, they all know what these guys are going to be doing, but someone else has got to come up from somewhere, and maybe it's going to be like a Bozak, Maroon, and Thomas. You know, Thomas, you know, he struggled a little bit to start, but he got going later on. So it's, you know, it's first playoff game. You got to expect something's going to be a little jittery with the kid. But, you know, they found a way to score a big goal, and sort of Perron, that's a good sign for the Blues.
Yeah, you know, I hate to say this, but don't you expect that a little bit from a guy like Thomas or maybe even some of the young guys that really haven't been full bore into a situation like this? Don't you kind of have to hope they can weather that first period and then come out on the other side? I mean, you kind of expect that, don't you?
Well, not even Thomas on the on the first period. That's anybody in the game of hockey. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many years you've played in the game. If you are going into a playoff series, the juices are flowing. It's a different kind of animal, man. And, you know, that's what you play the whole season for. This is what you play. This is what when you were 3 years old or whenever when you started putting skates on. Now it's here. So Thomas, you know, he gets his first crack at this. Of course he's going to, you know, this is going to be nervous. Everything's going on. You know, he's been playing well. He wants to keep playing well. You know, he doesn't want to disappoint. But playoff hockey, Chromes, I don't care who you are. It's, you know, these guys that say that the nerves, they just got to be going through the walls. You know, it's just, it's crazy time. The blood's flowing. You're just so excited. You're walking on air the whole time. And, you know, you get a big win, so that's even going to help it out more.
Well, it flat out, that game last night, if you're one, like, again, if you've been under a rock or you're new to hockey or maybe you've ever doubted what guys like yourself or somebody else would say, the reality of it is last night was a prime example of what everybody talks about when it comes to the playoffs just being different. And, you know, there's a faction of people that would say, ah, bullshit, a penalty's a penalty, a this is a that. It's just not. I mean, you look at last night, there were numerous penalties that weren't called because the referees are going to try not to dictate the game as long as it's reasonable, right? That's, I think, what
right.
a player like yourself, I mean, that's what you were accustomed to, right? And that has never changed, has it?
No, when you go into a game this time of the year, the referee and you hope doesn't play a part of this animal at all. You just hope no one even knows who they are. And usually that's the way it goes in playoff hockey. The first round, you'll find that they'll still call some penalties just by the history of what's going on. And the farther you get into this the playoffs, the whistles sort of get put away. And that's the way it should be. It's supposed to be determined by the players, and that's what you want. And I'll tell you, my best moment last night, and I know Riz, Matt, he tweeted something out about it last night, but you just look how fired up Chief was after the game, Berube. I'll tell you what, he was ready to go.
Well, that's where I was going next.
You know, it was just I just love, and I think the players, this is what people are talking about when it's a new generation of hockey, but everybody loves to see that their coach is bought into it. The coach is he's in on it. You know, it's and Chief, the blood was flowing, and I'm pretty sure he felt like he wanted to be part of that thing, and that's his role that he played his whole life. When someone was yapping at the end, he'd be the guy over there talking to him. So he still got that in him, which I like to see. It brought back some memories of you know, that the blood, how it flows through you and how you want to be involved in the game. And I think Chief's right in there now.
Yeah, I was going to go there next with you especially. You know, we talk a lot about Craig Berube. We talk a lot about the influence that, let's face it, that he's had on this group. His signature appears to be all over this team. At playoff setting, emotions are high. Third period becomes, you know, they go from one up to one down. They're, you know, exactly what you'd expect from Winnipeg. The last 2 minutes, I mean, they basically are crashing down low, taking extra whacks. Alexander Steen says not so fast, and the rest of the group as well. Steiner takes a cheap shot at the end of the game, and Craig Berube's not having it. Now, we talk about things on here sometimes that I think some people think, you know, some of that's all done for show and token. This was not done for show, and I'm just curious, if you're a player and you see your head coach out there firing at guys on the other team, and let's face it, they know who Craig Berube is.
Yep.
How's that make you feel as a player?
That's what I was saying. You know, he's bought into it. You know, that's his life. He lived it, and the juices are still flowing for the man. And I think when you that can go either way. If the team isn't behind their coach and they see a guy doing this for publicity stunts or whatever, you know, players are going to read on that shit, and they don't care for that. And you know, him when he was hired in, and with Bennington obviously being a part, and Tarasenko and all these guys turning their game around. But when Chief comes in, and like a month later, when this thing all comes together, you know, like you said, he's all over this thing, man. I think the players are feeding off of the emotion that man has, and I don't care how old you get. He could, if Chief was 80 years old, he'd still be out in the ice and he'd still have that emotion going through his body because that's what he did in his life. It was just, you weren't going to touch my teammates. You weren't going to do any of that. So he still has that. And, you know, and if as a player, if your coach has your back, you'll go farther. You'll go to the wall for the man. And I think that's what's going on here with St. Louis right now.
Well, the GIF or whatever that Rivs sent out, the best part of the whole thing is I can't tell exactly what he says by reading his lips. What I can tell is there are words that probably can't be said on a radio. We might be able to say them on here, but
yeah, we say them on air.
Yeah. But, the best part of the whole thing is, and I'm not 1,000% sure who the player is. I've gone back and forth who it is, but he sees and looks at who Berube's talking to. And then the little shit grin right at the end before he goes off tells me that whatever he said was really good. So, I'm excited. I got to ask you, I hate to say this, but does it really matter at this juncture as far as Craig Berube's future, how they do? I mean, let's face it, Joel Quenneville signed. I mean, I think everybody thought, well, you know, if you could get Quenneville, what do you do here? But Craig Berube is going to be is staying, right?
I got to think so. And if it, you know, I from where he brought him to where he puts, what the year of the contract is, he's been with Armstrong the last 2 or 3 years. So there's a connection there. He turned him coming in and the players buying into what he's doing and them going from last to almost first in the damn division. Obviously he's got to be saying, and it'd be crazy for that not to happen. I don't care what happens here, but we don't have to worry about that yet. We'll keep riding this out, and maybe this man takes it down the road where no one has ever taken it before. So, let him go, let him ride the thing out. I think it's neat how he's doing this without a contract. Sometimes that can go either way, but I think with this one here, I think he's your man for, I don't know how many years they're going to sign him to, but they'll sign him for a while, I imagine.
You look at that game last night and now I think, okay, well, we weathered the storm. We came out on top. Okay. No doubt. It's always better to be one up than one down. Right. But I look across the playoffs last night and, you know, the Lightning lose to the Blue Jackets, you know, the Islanders beat the Penguins. You know, Predators lose to the Stars, Golden Knights lose to the Sharks. So I look at this whole thing and it just tells me that, you know, you're in a situation here where, the playoffs, like, you can try to predict things, and sometimes some teams are just dominantly better than others. But, man, what – this is hockey, man. Look at these scores. 4-3 Blue Jackets. 4-3 overtime Islanders. 2-1 Blues. 3-2 Stars over the Predators. Now the Sharks was 5-2. But for the most part, man, I'm looking at this thing going, we could have some amazingly exciting hockey. Now, in the past, as a Blues fan, what I would anticipate – I would anticipate the Blues' recipe for success in Game 2 in Winnipeg. I think they're going to need to even weather a bigger storm in the first 10 minutes of the game. It would not shock me if the message to the Winnipeg players from coach is, okay, what we did in the first period worked, and somehow we got away from that. Let's go in and double the effort. So my guess would be the recipe to success for the Blues is be prepared to weather an even bigger storm in the first period.
Yeah, I think if I lose your Chromes, I'm going into a garage here, so I might lose you. I hope not. But I'm the Jets have to be thinking that they're gonna, this is do or die right now for them, so they can't go back to St. Louis down 2-0. So they got to put everything on the table. And I think this is where Binnington in the first period, the whole first period, he's gonna have to be top dog here. It's gonna be tough. If they go down 2-0 coming home, it's not gonna be good for them. And are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. Go ahead.
Okay. And you know what playoff hockey is to me, Chromes? And I'll tell you, I saw it last night in the San Jose game when their captain takes a puck in the bloody mouth. The puck goes in the net. They score the goal. He goes off the ice. He comes back with a full cage on and he continues to play. That is what playoff hockey is all about. And I have mad respect for that man coming back with his teeth were missing and, it's just, guys, that's putting it all on the line. So that guy there, he's got me. He bought in.
Yeah. Pavelski's a pretty good player, man. He's a good player. I know, a lot of times we think of San Jose, you think of Thornton, you think of Brent Burns, but man, Pavelski's a good player. I got to ask you before you go, No doubt about it, in my opinion, last night, Jordan Binnington, best player on the ice. He's been unbelievable. I don't even want to waste my time asking you if you could have predicted this, because let's face it, the guy, he wasn't even on the depth chart, to be quite honest. We talked about Ville Husso over him. We've seen this before, so I guess the question is, why not us? Why not us? Why not our goaltender be the kid that comes out of nowhere and makes a run? Why not?
No, you're right. And the second half of the season, the Blues have been the best team, bar none, going forward. So there's no one been better than them. So you got a goaltender. I don't care what they're trying to do in Winnipeg, even all the nonsense they pulled with the man. But he's solid, man. He come out, even with all the crap that was going on, he stood there. He manned the fourth for him. So they're scoring goals. They're winning games. They got the best record going. You know, the positive stuff that's going on with this team, you got to be loving it right now as a fan. And, you know, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. It's the playoffs, and I believe it's the hardest trophy to ever win. But you're still you're on your way. I do know that.
I would assume, last question for you, I would assume this is the time of year where the only lineup changes probably come from necessity, not any other reason. Am I wrong? I mean, do they look at it from game to game and say, you know, maybe this guy's intensity level isn't where it needs to be? I hear people, you know, there's some fans calling for saying Sanford can't handle this style of play. Maybe Fabry can give us more. I don't know. Like, what, you know, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it's not, you know what, just look at the way the Chiefs done this, though, you know, down the stretch. He basically, when the team's winning, there wasn't much going on. He wasn't changing stuff, and unless there was an injury or something that he had to. So he wasn't, that's not the way he is. He doesn't change stuff up. And through the playoffs, with coaches that I've been around anyway, that when things are going well, you don't touch nothing. There's a lot of superstitious coaches out there, man, I'm telling you, and players as well. But, once playoff hockey gets going and the team gets winning, it's hard to break into that lineup. So you never want to get kicked out of it because you never know how long you could be out. But that being said, you still need everybody involved because you don't know what kind of injury is going to come on. You know, with Pavelski getting hit in the mouth last night, who knew that to be able to continue on? So you got to have everybody available in case one guy comes out, and that's what teams that go on to win this this trophy, they have to have. So it'll be interesting to watch, but I think the Blues have got the all the pieces in the right spot, and let's hope that things continue down the same road.
Yeah, I'm looking at this thing and saying, I guess maybe I am looking too far ahead because, you know, it makes you feel good when you win a game. So maybe I am looking too far ahead. I know the players don't. I mean, you can't, but gosh darn it. I watch us win a game like that last night where at the beginning of the game, I'm thinking we got no chance. I'm thinking that, you know, and I didn't pull the whole here we go again, but you know, you watch that. And if you're a hockey fan at all and you have any type of knowledge about the sport, whatever, you're watching that first period going, this was my only concern is that they couldn't play this way. Now, I lied to you, so this is your last question, then I'll let you roll. Can a team play like Winnipeg played that first period, three periods, 60 minutes every game? I mean, is it physically possible to play that way for 60 minutes every game?
You're going to – a playoff team, Cromes, when they get going, when things are going, and this is where I put the Blues at right now, because everything they do, everything that they've been touching here the last half of the season, they find a way to get things done. And that's the sign of a team that's well, that, you know, everybody's doing their job. Everyone's on the same page. Can you run it for that long? It's a hard run, man. It is. It's a hard thing. But, you know, when you get ready to go play, like I said, there's a different atmosphere going on right now. Everybody, you want to be part of this. This is what you've lived for your whole life, man. So, you know, this is where you throw everything on the line. And does it happen? Yeah. I don't know. These teams are the defensive part of the game does happen. Yes, that'll always be there because that's why teams go on to win the Stanley Cup, because they're committed to the defensive part of the game and everyone buys into it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, can you have a let up? A series can turn on a play, Cromes, and you hear it, and it might sound so stupid sometimes, but that's the exact truth. A series can turn on a play. It can, anything could happen where it could turn the whole damn thing around. So you have to be focused for 60 minutes and every game, and you got to roll this thing, man.
Well, I think we've kind of seen it already. That game looked lost last night till Perron scored, and then it was just different. It just was.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, I agree.
So, great stuff, Kimby. We appreciate you. I know it's hard for you to get away, and we'll be leaning on you during the playoffs, and hopefully your schedule.
I think I'm gonna be able to sneak into the office here in the upcoming weeks here, Chrome. So
oh my goodness.
And the only thing today I did, I got a doctor's appointment, so we got to take our yearly checkup and go in there and see it. So I just hope this doctor's don't got those googly eyes, because I don't like when they get googly eyes, you know.
You tell Dr. Jellyfinger to warm it up first, all right?
As long as it's only one, that's okay.
All right, my friend. Well, hey, thanks for joining us, and thanks to your good friends and Nelson family for bringing you to us, and I look forward to seeing you in studio. You just let us know, bud, and we'll do a special edition if it's the only day you can do, you know what I mean?
You betcha. We're coming soon, I think.
Hey, I gotta go to the second fiddle. You know, Rivs, when I told that when we were doing you first and Rivs second, he's like, man, my second fiddle. I said, hey, how it works around here, right? Yesterday's news.
Hey,
listen, this guy, he's on radio now on during the day. Yeah. He's doing his own show at night. He's on Fox Sports. He's talking. Hey, listen, if I got to listen to him talk about Cardinal baseball one more time, it's amazing. And think all the shit he's given me when I bring the Cardinals up on the show. You just wait till I talk to him here in a few minutes.
I can't believe that he got called out on Twitter for not having his little handkerchief in his pocket there last night. So I had to throw my thing on there. You know, he usually has it in his back pocket. That's where the old farm boys usually do it. So that's where he's got it.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Kimby, we appreciate it. It's nice to get you off the milk carton and on the show.
You bet you, boss. Go Blues. Good one.
All righty. That is Darren Kimble. Everybody loves it when he makes an appearance on the show. We are so happy to have him, and it's great to hear that he's going to be back in studio. That must mean his schedule at work may be getting back to normal. So that's good to hear. Because let me tell you, you get him and Rivs in studio, and it's magic. I love it. It's great stuff. And again, thanks to NelsonLandServices.com for their continued support. Want to also thank our friend Noel Buckingham, Buckingham Pest Control. You guys heard me mention earlier that Noel had texted me this morning and wants to give away his tickets to Game 6. Now, this is an opportunity to have his tickets for Game 6, because what happens if they don't win? Well, I mean, if they win in 5 or they sweep, right? Well, if that happens, the contest will roll over and then he'll give away tickets for the next round. So this is your chance to have Game 6 tickets. In the end, with a Blue Shoot twice, they're Noel's tickets, and they come from Buckingham Pest Control. And as we always say, they kill pests, not penalties, but then they pass the savings along to you. The way you enter this contest, the way you're eligible to win, is very simple. Just like last time, you're going to go to the Buckingham Pest Control Facebook page. To qualify, you must have liked our Facebook page, and you must have liked their Facebook page. So ours is simple, Blues NHL Podcast. Make sure you like the page. You go to their page, Buckingham Pest Control. Make sure you've liked the page. Once you've done that, they will have a pinned post up about the contest. You then share that post, and in the post, you just tag 3 friends. Doesn't matter who they are, okay? Tag 3 friends, and you are in the contest. Now, I got to tell you, the last time we did this, he walked in here, and he said, I just wanted you to see this. See this pile? This is a pile of everybody that liked our page, liked your page, and shared it to 3 friends. This pile over here are the people that liked our page and shared it to 3 friends. This pile over here are the people that only liked your page and shared it to 3 friends. And let me tell you, those 2 piles were out. But he's like, I want you to reiterate to these people, they got to like both our pages. And there were even some that liked both pages. And guys were going, wait a minute, I like both pages. It's like, well, you weren't in. You didn't do the thing. So really simple, guys. Like our page, Blues NHL Podcast. Like their page, Buckingham Pest Control. And then share their pinned post to 3 friends. Just put 3 friends' names in it, tag them. Once you share it, you're eligible. He's going to give away the tickets on the show here before Game 6. I hope you win them. All right. When we talk about pests, there's only one pest I know that's more of a pest than Darren Kimble, and that's our own Jamie Rivers. What do you say, Ribs?
Well, it's only one game in the book, but it was one hell of a game to watch, that's for sure.
Man, oh man, what a dandy. And I got to say, before we go, just announced Our man, Noel Buckingham, is giving away tickets, his tickets to Game 6. Just announced it. Same contest as before. I got to tell you, I asked him flat out. I said, are you sure you want to give away your Game 6 tickets? Because a lot of people have been predicting Blues in 6. And he wasn't hesitant. He said, hey, I'm giving them away because it isn't like I'm not going to go. I'm going to find a way into the building. But the reality of it is, if if we beat their ass, I'll just roll this contest over into the second round if we don't make it to Game 6. Noel's confident. I got to ask you, is Rivs confident?
Yeah, I am. I mean, you know, listen, I've been doing a lot of stuff lately and analyzing this series up and down and all around. And I was not worried, but, you know, I was cautious because the Winnipeg Jets, you know, they pose a big problem. They're a big group of players, they skate well, all the above. You know, we talked about it forever. But what really showed to me was about halfway through the second period, things started to change just slightly. And then when the third period came, it's almost like the ice was tilted. And I was sitting beside legendary Bernie Federko as we're watching this game together. And we both started to look at each other saying, Winnipeg is out of gas. Like, they looked like they had nothing in the tank. And that's when the Blues started generating more zone time, more puck possession, more chances. I mean, Bozak himself had three chances, finally put one home at the end of it all. But just, you could see the tide was changing right as that third period was beginning. And you know what? I think the Winnipeg Jets now, Paul Maurice certainly, although he won't tell his team, Paul Maurice has to be worried that the Blues might just be a little too much for the Jets.
Yeah, it was. There's no doubt that if you, I had said to Kimby, if you've lived under a rock or if this is your first taste of playoff hockey, what you just witnessed was playoff hockey. To your point, I think, you know, Kimby, as I told him, took a beating on here for the longest time from us because it was Winnipeg, Winnipeg, Winnipeg. Well, that was because he really, really, really loved their style of play. He loves that physical style of play. And if you can play that way, you can cause a lot of problems for teams in the playoffs, even if they are a little bit superior to you. That being said, I had told Kimby that whole game felt like their season to me. Started off really rough, progressively got a little better, and then they found themselves in the third period and got contributions from guys that you would love to get them from. But in the end, Jordan Binnington was their best player. And if not for Jordan Binnington, it might be 3-0, and you got no prayer. So what a microcosm of the entire season.
It's wild. And, you know, you talk about the physicality, too. Just before we hit on Jordan Binnington here, the Jets were taking it to us physically. I mean, Tyler Myers himself was public enemy number one there for a while, and he was doing a great job. I hated him. I wanted to go through the damn TV screen myself and freaking chop him across the legs. But – you know, he was doing a great job. And so I found that, you know, we got a little more aggressive as the game went on. And in the third period, again, we started to have some big hits, you know, and started to turn it around that way. It almost were like, we're done being pushed around. Now we're going to push back. And so that to me was a good sign. But yeah, Jordan Binnington, God, I think everybody was worried for obvious reasons that, you know, he's a young guy, his first playoff series. He's never been in the NHL playoffs before. He's played a lot of games. Yeah, he acts like he's, you know, cool and calm and all these things. Is it for real? And then, of course, all the bullshit comes out yesterday with these tweets that were found from, what, 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, anything to try and rattle this kid. I thought he handled that situation very well. I thought the Blues handled it very well. I thought the league handled that very well. And then when it comes game time, the place is rocking. The fans are nuts. I mean, you can just tell that it's just crazy in there. And Jordan Bennington's just calm, as always, you know. And he makes these saves. And when he makes these spectacular saves, they're minimal movements, which is crazy because a lot of goalies have to sell out to make some of these amazing saves. And then after that, they're done. Like the rebound goes in or the second or third chance, and they're in no position to make save number two or three if it's there. Not Dinnington. He makes these split pad saves, yet he's still right there and finds a way to swallow up the rebound. Like, it's really kind of wild to watch him play because he's an amazing goalie that makes these great saves, but it's almost like he barely moves up there. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was impressed. I mean, I continue to be impressed. I don't know how you couldn't be. To say he's your best player right now, I don't think is an overstatement. And sometimes it has to be. He has to be if you're going to do something like this. And I asked Kimby this question. You know, we've seen other teams get into the playoffs and these goaltenders that you just don't expect to carry a team all the way like this. They've done it. So I say, why not us? Right? I mean, am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. I mean,
I am, but that's okay.
Well, you are crazy. Okay, let's just establish that. But maybe you're not as crazy as people think. But that's about as hostile of an environment as you're going to play in the playoffs in Winnipeg. You know, Nashville, I'm sure, is probably not very friendly. And I hear Vegas is, you know, a little rowdy. But it's not going to be much worse than what he's dealing with. So to go in there and be confident like that, and let's not forget the Jets are still, you know, they were predicted to not just get to the Stanley Cup, but probably win it this year before the season started. So he's handling probably the biggest, baddest opponent in one of the craziest buildings in the league. And so far, game one, mind you, game one, he's come through and looked really, really solid. So the key now, which I'm sure Jordan Binnington will do, is to refocus, forget about last night, you know, take whatever therapy and, I don't know, relaxing he can get today, and maybe go over some video to watch some of the tendencies again of some of these players, and then just get ready to go back to work.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's a, like, you know, we hear goalies are a little different sometimes. I think sometimes when you see them interviewed and they seem normal, that we're probably more shocked. But he's got that, like, look right now and those standard quotes that, like, he's all business. And, you know, there was a little bit of a joke made about him being like, I don't get nervous. Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I know we kind of laughed about that. It was kind of funny at the time. But, I mean, you watch him last night and it's like, I guess not. And if I guess it's a good thing for Blues fans, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, there's a lot of times where people say things and we know they're full of shit. You know, you sit there and you're like, oh, come on. He's just saying that, or he's doing it for an effect or whatever. And I was unsure at first when Binnington, you know, when he dropped that, do I look nervous? You know, that whole calm thing and everybody giggled about it. But I was like, is it really him or is it just kind of this persona he's trying to take on? And you know what? I think it's him. I think the kid just doesn't get rattled. You know, he's battle tested, Chrome. Like, not in the NHL. I mean, he is now, but still not really, because that was his first playoff game. But he's been in the minors forever, which, let me tell you, that's the jungle down there in the minors. It's hard. It's harder to play in the American League than it is the NHL, with the travel and the buses and the shitty rinks and the, you don't have all the massage therapists, all the stuff that is allotted to the big leagues. You don't get it. And this guy's been down there playing hard for years and even played for the Providence Bruins. He was on loan to another team because at the time he wasn't in the development plans for the Blues. So I think this guy's been through the ringer and back, and it's made him so mentally tough that I really do believe he's not nervous. I don't think it's an act anymore.
I agree. I could not agree more from the stance of I look at it because, you know, I even asked Kimby about this too. I'm like, this guy wasn't even on our radar. I know that when we talked about him early in the year when the goaltending we were trying to figure it out, I mean, we talked about Ville Husso, right, and things like that. And when Bennington's name came up, it wasn't that we were dogging on the guy. It was just that it was like, I don't know that the Blues see him as a real answer anytime soon. And then this happens, and then you go back and you say, okay, look how calm and cool he is. And to your point, he's probably sitting there going, Man, I've rode a bus for hours and had to play in games in shitty rinks. I've had the organization basically give up on me at times. You think this bothers me? This is all icing on the cake because I knew I could play. So I like that kind of, and I think it's just another example, you know, and Kimby loved this. You knew he would. The whole Craig Berube thing, and that's the attitude that this team has taken. And then last night, no different. He is not going to let – he for sure is not – he's going to make sure that another team doesn't think they're going to cheap shot his guys. And he let it be known after that game was over. Now, I'm not the best lip reader in the world. How good a lip reader are you?
I'm a pretty good lip reader, yeah.
You want to take a shot at what he said? Or I mean, I have an idea, but I didn't want to screw it up.
Well, to me, I'm not an FBI trained guy, but to me, it looked like you walked by and said, fuck you, you assholes. that's kind of what I got out of it. And Chief was walking across there, and you got to like his walk when he's got the arms like puffed out to the side. Like, you know, he's ready to rumble. If someone takes a tight turn his way, like, they're going down.
He had that look like he wanted to say, you want to go? I mean, it was.
Yeah, he had the shark eyes going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like.
Black, you know, you're like, I don't want to. You're staring right into his soul, and his soul didn't look pretty at that point.
I was like, holy cow. And, you know, I don't think we can say it enough. This team has taken on his personality. Now, not every player can play like a Craig Berube. We know that, right? Like, that's just some fans want to get it or not, his skill set is a true skill set. It's not something that everybody can have. But you can that attitude. You can take on that want to, that try. And I think in the playoffs, that brings it out.
Yeah, and you're right. And what I was going to say there is, you don't necessarily have to become the league's toughest guy, best fighter, because you've taken on Craig Berube's, you know, attitude. It doesn't mean you automatically become, you know, a fighter. No, what it means is the way he's treated this team and the culture that he's created, and everybody talks about it, and you can see it on the ice, and it's all about the team. It's about the guy next to you. You know, it's about the guy across the room from you. It's not just about yourself. And that's the way Chief played. He was giving of himself as a player for his teammates. And now he's got a team of individuals that are of the same mindset, that are playing for the guy beside them. And honestly, Colonel, I'm starting to think that it's almost like a us against the world mentality for the Blues, because they have been through so much this year, where they were so low in the standings, bottom, the very bottom. And the way they've come back, and you know, they didn't make a big trade at the deadline. They acquired Del Zotto, which is a great move, but this is the same group. So it's almost like you guys ran us into the ground. You guys can take us to the mountaintop as well. And that's what I get when I watch this team. They're pulling for each other. They're playing hard. They're a group of guys that wants the guy next to them to be successful. And Chief, I think that's the number one thing he's done with this team, is make them think that way. And you know what? Look, last night, it's funny to watch Chief do that going off the ice. And today he's going to field some questions. He probably shouldn't have done that because, you know, you're the head coach and whatnot. But at the end of the day, looking around the room, the guys in the room, the players, they're giggling. They're like, you see fucking Chief? You see Chief? Oh, fucking nutcase, you know? And they're like laughing because they're like, we got your back, Chief. You know, like, don't worry about it. That's what it's all about. When you have players pulling for coaches, coaches pulling for players, I truly believe that's when you have something special.
I want to ask you a question about something that I think has been a major, like, if I've seen a lot of things that I think have contributed to this run that the Blues have made here in the second half of the season. Recently, their play, and I love the complete, and I'll call it the complete team effort that they have. I think a big part of it, and I've been hard on this guy, I think Alexander Steen's new role, and I don't mean this to say like Alexander Steen wasn't a good player, but I think his new role really fits where he may be right now, right? Could a lot of guys get him to do that, or does it take a guy that has the respect of a Craig Berube to say, this is what I need from you?
Well, it takes two to tango, right? And so all that means is Alexander Steen had to be of the mindset that he wanted his team to win and that he was ready to do anything possible to make this team win. And then it's, will I do it for this coach? Do I believe in what he's doing? And it appears that Alexander Steen said, yeah, you know what? I trust that Craig Berube is doing the right thing. So I'm going to go out there and just shut my mouth. And when I get the tap to go play, I'm going to play. Now, what people need to realize is that he's not playing that much less than he did before. Yeah, there's a couple of minutes, but if there's a game where we have a lot of penalties, Alexander Steen's minutes are going to be up there again because he is a great penalty killer. So right now, yes, he's filling a role on our so-called fourth line because I think it's a third line, personally. On any other team in the National Hockey League, it's a third line. But, you know, he's filling that role really well. What I really liked last night, okay, is never mind all the little plays and this and that and the other. Those are great. But when we had a scrum in front of the net at one point, Mark Scheifele takes an extra stab at Binnington right after the big save that he made. And then all hell breaks loose because Alexander Steen goes after Mark Scheifele. And when's the last time you've seen Alexander Steen not necessarily drop the mitts because he didn't do that, but he went in there swinging and punching and pushing and helmet was flying and like there was no messing around. It was for real. And that to me showed me a side of Alexander Steen that I don't think many people have seen before, that yes, he's a great player and all that, but now he's physically willing to do whatever it takes for his team. And that's a sign of a great leader. And the fact that he's accepted this role is a sign of a great leader. And the fact that he's still a very capable NHLer is an asset for the Blues.
Yeah, that's the thing about him. I mean, if he can play that role and play it as well as he has, and he has, you know, it isn't like he can't put a puck in the net. It isn't like he can't make a play. I mean, we've seen it, right? And that's kind of where I was going with this is I you know, to your point, we look at it and say, man, you know, Steiner's on a fourth line here. That's a third line. And I think it is a true advantage for the Blues because we see in the playoffs that these teams shorten this bench and these guys, they get beat down a little bit and stuff like that. The Blues are going to be in a position, I think, where they might be able to outlast a few teams. And we've all seen enough playoff series to know that, I mean, even if you just play a 60-minute game, which we see a lot of overtimes and things like that, it seems like, right? Man, it's not just a normal 60-minute game. It is a balls-to-the-wall, all-out 60-minute game. And sometimes the last one standing is the one that's got a little more breath at the end. So I think that gives us an advantage. I could be wrong.
No, it does. And where it really gives us an advantage, aside from what you just described, is if we get some injuries, okay? And, you know, heaven forbid, knock on wood, all these things. You know, but if we do get an injury to somebody that's in the second or third line, you can move those guys up. They play up in the lineup with ease, you know? Like, you can't tell me that Ivan Barbashev couldn't go center Schwartz and Perron right now. I mean, you can't tell me he wouldn't be able to do that. You know, so Alexander Steen, you can't tell me that if need be, but he couldn't go play left wing on that Sundqvist Perron line. He could. So, you know, to me, that's important. And the pieces that are really important as well that we can't forget to talk about is we have able bodies that aren't even touching the ice right now. We've got Mackenzie McEachern, proved he can be a good checker, National Hockey League. Sammy Blais has proven that he can be a good checker with some speed and some energy. And Robbie Fabbri, if I'm going to evaluate his last two games that he played, he looks like a guy that could help the fourth line in a situation in the playoffs with, you know, a little bit of grit, a little bit of energy out there. And not to mention Michael Delzato and Carl Gunnarsson, who are the extra D right now, that are two very capable NHL defensemen, longtime NHL defensemen, and they're just sitting on the shelf right now. So, you know, the Blues have a very unique situation to where they're completely healthy right now. They're firing on all cylinders. And if things go sideways at any point, they have a nice cupboard full of players that can help them out as they get to, you know, try to move over the hump.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's an all hands on deck thing. We all know that. I mean, I know you have the players on the ice, but to your point, having the backups, things happen in the playoffs, right, man? It's an intense game. There's injuries, and we know guys play through them at that time of year, as there is no tomorrow for some of these guys, as they feel. And, you know, you hear about injuries after the playoffs, like this guy played with this and this guy played with that. So they do become important, and depth is important. But I just, you know, having a fourth line I think you just basically very eloquently described a fourth line that could play third line for almost any team in the National Hockey League, I think gives us an advantage. And we're not just talking about guys that shut down the other team defensively. We're talking about guys that can chip in offensively as well. So I think it's important. You know, do we have the biggest, most physical team? No, we do not. But what we do have is a system that has seemed to have found its way into a working mode for us, especially the second half of the season. And it looks like we're going to continue that into the playoffs. I did expect that first period surge. I'm not quite so sure I thought we would bend that much. But you know what? In the end, our best player on the ice kept it 1-0. We had an opportunity for a couple of guys to play really, really well in the third period that were brought here for just that reason, in a Tyler Bozak and a Pat Maroon. And I would expect a guy like Pat Maroon to really shine in this series, and Tyler Bozak as well.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is we can't forget about the big rig here. You know, he's kind of, not kind of, he is built for playoff hockey. You know, he's a big, strong guy. He handles the puck so well. He does such a great job along the boards and in front of the net. And that's where a lot of the action is from NHL playoff time. And last night was just a perfect example of that. You know, Bozak had three chances in the third period alone, and Patty Maroon was a part of all of them. You know, at some point, he was a part of making that play, and let alone the last one where he drags the puck down the wall, fends off three guys. Three guys just bouncing off him. He just plows through them and then feeds a backhand pass, almost a no-looker, to Bozak, who scores, you know, the game-winning goal. Like, that's what you talk about when you're talking about a playoff guy that's, you know, big and tough and goes to the hard areas. Yet he's got those soft hands that can kill you when he's paired up with guys like Robert Thomas and Tyler Bozak. So, yeah, you know what? Chromes, you're absolutely right. That those are the guys that are going to help us get through here. They're going to help us get on to the next round and keep us going through these playoffs. And, you know, Doug Armstrong looking like a genius right now. You know, David Perron scores last night. Tyler Bozak scores last night. Those are two guys that he acquired in the offseason. Pat Maroon with a great game is a guy that he acquired in the offseason. So, you know, Doug Armstrong looking a little bit like a wizard right now.
Yeah, I before we go, Riz, I got to tell you that I think for me, one of the neatest things I thought of last night when the clock was ticking down, I was just thinking about that game, and I was thinking about how quickly things change and how sometimes it is so great to be wrong. And I think about Pat Maroon and how, let's face it, man, there's a lot of people ready to run him out of here. And, you know, it just didn't work, right? Remember, great guy, it just didn't work, you know, and how important he's going to be. How many teams would love to have Pat Maroon in their lineup in the playoffs? How many teams? They all would.
Everyone.
Tyler Bozak, you know, he comes in, he signs a 3-year deal, $5 million per. I think some people were like, $5 million? Well, you know, he's a good two-way player. I'm not saying he didn't play well, but, you know, I think we expected a little more, right? And just two guys that are built for the playoffs. You know, Jordan Binnington, and we already talked about it. You know, it's like, I thought Ville Husso was our goalie of the future. What happened there? That didn't work out. Yeah, Binnington. I mean, didn't we loan this guy out? Because and the guy, you know, and I've already mentioned Steiner accepting a role that helps this team. And we could go through that list. Barbashev stepping up. Oscar Sundquist, for Pete's sakes. And we go on and on and on. But man, I can't do this without throwing a lot of just props, as I did to Steiner, because I've been on Steiner, right, for years. And I've been on this guy, and I'm going to tell you, Jay Bouwmeester has been as steady as she goes for 3 months. This is amazing.
He's been great. You know, and, you know, he gets rewarded with a one-year extension, $3.25 million. And the best part about it, the funniest part, the best part, whatever you want to call it, about it is that you know for a fact that if this had been announced, oh, I don't know, 3 months ago, there would have been chaos. There would have been riots in the streets of St. Louis. How dare they sign Jay Bouwmeester to another year? And it's just amazing because the other day when it happened, everybody was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, I'm glad they got it done. You know, what a great deal. Great move. I would have kept him for 2 years. Like, it's amazing to see how far it's come. And you know what? I've said this before, and anybody can go back in our shows and to, I don't even give a shit how far back you go. I've always said that Jay Bouwmeester brings value to this team. What everybody else used to get pissed off at is that he's making so much money. And I've said it before, and you know I have, Chrome. If you took the money and you didn't know how much he made, you'd be okay with it. And he did go through a tough period this year. Even I was like, maybe it's time to move on. But now he comes back with a one-year extension at a $3.25 million contract. Like, it's absolutely the perfect deal right across the board for the player and the team. And I'll tell you what, the happiest guy in the fucking room is Colton Parayko. I'm telling you, Colton Parayko told me flat out, he goes, I have learned so much from Jay Bouwmeester. And he goes, I feel so confident out there because I know where he's going to be. And I know he's going to make the right play. And I know that if we both screw up, he's going to block the shots. So how about that? You got your future franchise defenseman or one of them. And he's sitting there singing the praises of a guy that we were ready to run out of town. So you've got a big veteran in Jay Bouwmeester who's now becoming like a hands-on player coach for one of your biggest projects moving forward.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I think, you know, where you were going with this is I just sit here and think in my mind that, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, if they would have signed Jay Bouwmeester to a one-year contract, I mean, they would have marched – on Enterprise Center, the Blues fans.
There would be no more Enterprise.
I mean, it would. They would have marched. It would have been like Frankenstein. It would have been unbelievable. But you know what? Hey, listen. Let's look at. It's one game, okay? But guess what? I always say I'd rather win that one game than be on the downside of it because the conversation today could be okay. You know, we lost game one. It's game one. Come on, we did a few. But it's so much better to sit here and go, you know what? We found a way to win that game. It really trended like our season. And you know what? I feel confident we can do this. No, Buckingham's feeling confident. He wants somebody to experience game six. He thinks they're going to win it in six, and he wants somebody to experience it in his seat. So I'm excited about that, and I'll remind you guys a little bit about that contest. But for my man Jamie Rivers, I got to tell you I told Rivs, I told Kimmy I would have to bring this up to you, but this is for all the times that you gave me shit when I'd try to reference something Cardinals in here. As everybody on this show is probably aware, your celebrity continues to increase. I think it's really scared Kimby because today he announced on the show that he thinks his schedule is going back to normal and he's going to be back in studio here real soon. So I think he's feeling nervous like you're leaving him. So I think he may have put the squeeze on the old boss there with those mitts of his and said, hey, I got to get back to having either Monday or Thursday off. But as your celebrity increases, now everybody knows you're doing the Monday night thing, the road to the cup. And obviously you do this, you're Synergy Hockey guy, you do so much work for the Blues. Every radio station calls you for opinions and thoughts on games. You're on Fox Sports Midwest. And now lately you've been on, is it The Turn?
Yes. It's okay. The Turn with Anthony Salter.
Have you been filling in or are you in or what's the deal here? Because the reality of it is it's not just a Blues show. And this is where I'm going. I got to tell you, Rivs. Now, you're talking about the Cardinals on there. And while I get some of your, I listen to it and I like some of your thoughts, but you know, all the times on here, you'd give me shit about talking about the Cardinals every blue moon. You knew I was going to have to give you a little bit of shit.
Yeah, I know. I know. I Listen, dude, it's been.
Well, you're having a blast on there, and you're great at it. So, you know, good for you.
Yeah, listen, I try. I am talking baseball, which I never thought I'd ever talk in my life. And the funny part about it is I come home at night and I'm doing like homework. Like I'm watching the Cardinals game. I've got my pen and paper out and I'm going through, you know, the scoring of the game where guys go. It's hilarious because, yeah, I always knew about baseball. I played baseball as a youngster. And I mean, I knew about the sport, but now I'm forced to know more than just, oh yeah, they won the game. And so it's been fun though. It's been good. I try not to dive in deep because let's be honest, I'm a hockey guy, you know? And so all I try to do is give an opinion on things. I like to have some fun with it. I like to poke fun at Marcelo Zuna when he eats dirt off an awful catch. I like to poke fun at Dexter Fowler when he slows down at the wall last night because he's afraid to pull a Marcelo Zuna. You know, those are the things I like to talk about when it comes to baseball, but it's been a blast. The guys over there have been awesome. Anthony Stalter is, you know, just a true professional, just an easy guy to work with. Dan Betlock does an amazing job too. So, yeah, but I am over there talking baseball.
And you know what? It's totally fine. You just knew I was going to give you a little static, but, listen, you bring a lot of fun to it, a different view, a different look. You know, you don't come in with that expert feeling on it. And I think at the end of the day, that's really what fans just want to hear is a fun take. I was listening to all your takes on that, and I thought they were great. So you keep it up. I don't know how you do it. I don't know when you sleep. I've told everybody's like, tell me about Ribs. And I'm like, well, he's a vampire. I mean, I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure. I know he doesn't sleep at night because he's watching tape, and then I think he sleeps through our show, and he probably doesn't remember what he said. So I'm just not 100% sure. And people think I'm joking, but I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm being very serious. The guy doesn't sleep. So that's why there's a Red Bull in your hand all the time, I believe. But that being said, you know, that being said, you're doing a great job. I know you're having a good time. I'm not quite sure where it ends for you, but I know right now the one thing you don't want is for this Blues run to end. None of us do, and hopefully it just keeps rolling on out. But we'll be rolling through the playoffs here. Like I said, I know we do our little back channel texting, and I'm sure that when Kimby says he's coming in, that if you can be here, you'll be here. So if not, yeah, you know, we'll just keep on keeping on.
Well, and for all our listeners, too, I'm not leaving the show. I'm not going anywhere, so if you were – ready to celebrate with the departure of Jamie Rivers. No, I'm not leaving the show. I'm going to be around. I just, some of these days will be call-ins when I got a lot of other things going on, but I will make it into studio as many times as I possibly can. I would never leave my boys over at the Blues Podcast.
Well, you don't want to leave now that we've got a full-blown entertainment area with a bar, multiple TVs, draft beer. I mean, we got it all here now. You don't want to leave now when it's just getting good.
No, I might actually start to live there.
Yeah, I was going to say, the beautiful thing now is for that trek over on the back 40, we got a cot for you, and a pond and a pool, although a pond would be good for you.
Pond is better, probably. Yeah.
Well, hey, listen, my man, Synergy Hockey Skills, been reminding people about it, but in the end, I know it's summer's right around the corner, and spring stuff's happening right now. You filling up?
Yeah, it is crazy, actually. It's great, but I can't say it enough. Get to synergyhockeyskills.com, click on summer camps, find an arena and a date that works for you, and sign up immediately. We're already getting waiting lists on some because we're sold out, and we're trying to open up more ice for the demand. Almost all of our private lessons in the summer are sold out right now. That is a waiting list for power skating program that's going on. We're looking to get an extra hour of ice to help that demand as well. So please get on there, synergyhockeyskills.com. Sign up quickly so that our young players in St. Louis can keep going here.
Hey, well, what'd you expect? I mean, you know, you keep sending guys into the draft. You know, the Blues have a major resurgence, and then the news comes out that, you know, you were skating these guys before the season, and guys like David Perron making sure people know how instrumental you were in getting him back on the ice. I don't know quite what you expected, but people want to get better, pal. So that's how it works. But and again, I don't know how you're fitting any of that in while you're doing your shows. My guess is you're skating around out there helping kids with a headset on. But other than that, you just keep doing what you're doing, and I'll see you soon, my friend.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chrome.
All right. That is the one, the only, the Rivs. Like I said, busiest man in show business. I like to say that, and I mean it. He really is. So great stuff as always, and I do want to thank SynergyHockeySkills.com. We want to thank Buckingham Pest Control for their continued support. I know Rivs has gotten to know Noel pretty well and considers him a good friend already. And Rivs had something going on. The other day he said, hey, I need Noel's number. I'm somewhere and I need it. And I don't know if he had a pest problem or maybe he just needed to have a beer. I don't know what was going on, but something was happening. Something was going down there. But my man, Noel Buckingham, Buckingham Pest Control, don't forget the contest going on right now. Like our Facebook page, Blues NHL Podcast. Like Buckingham Pest Control's page. And then take the pinned post at Buckingham Pest Control, share it to your timeline, but in doing so, in the comments, tag three of your friends. And you're eligible, and somebody's going to win. I know the last winner really enjoyed the game. Great stuff as always. Thanks to those guys. We really appreciate it. Another one of our partners that we couldn't do the show without is our friends at Adam Smokehouse. Each week, they bring you Dennis Minner and his Live from Minner Arena segment. Adam Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Guys, I'm telling you, best barbecue in St. Louis. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They do deliver to certain zip codes. They do the catering, guys, and I'm telling you, they do it better than anybody. Check them out. If you got a golf tournament, you got a fundraiser, anything that you might need some catering for, their barbecue is tremendous. They do box lunches for corporate settings or offices or just big parties or whatever you might need. Their specials that they have every day are tremendous, and I'm telling you, you're not going to be sorry that you go check it out. We appreciate you guys telling them that you heard about it here. Mike tells me that people come in and say, hey, I heard about you on Blues NHL Podcast. I had to go check it out. Please do so. We like for him to know that the message is there, so please do so when you stop in. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, thank you to Adam Smokehouse, and thank you to Dennis Minner for his contributions each week. Let's hear what he has for us this week, live from Minner Arena.
Hey, thanks, guys. This is Dennis Minner coming at you live from Minner Arena, and you'll have to excuse my voice because, oh, man, a combination with my allergies and just finished watching the freaking Blackhawks-Blues game. But, hey, before we get into that, just going to let you know I am sponsored by the one and only Adam Smokehouse Unbelievable Barbecue here in the heart of St. Louis, Missouri. Go check them out. Tell Mike that Dennis from Minner Arena sent you. Guys, you will not be sorry. Hey, go anytime after a Billikens, Blues, or Cardinals game and let them know you were at the game the night before, and you will get 10% off of your total order. So, hey, I swear, I don't know how my kids are still asleep right now. I screamed at the TV, 45 seconds later, we tie it up, and then we freaking lose in a shootout. I hate shootouts. It's an absolutely a joke of a way to win or lose. I think they should continue doing sudden death 3-on-3 until someone scores. But, hey, that's just me. I'm a fan. I have no say-so whatsoever on that. But you know what? Let's give credit where credit is due. Were the Blues on tonight? Not so much. But the Blackhawks wanted that win. They clearly did. Knew it was going to be a tough game. No matter what going in, if they're not, they've been eliminated. They're not even fighting for a playoff spot. But anything the Blackhawks can do to put the Blues down, they're going to do it. And when you've got Kane and Taves, crisscrossing like that and popping in with Floppy Jake falling down before Kane got up and did his standard up and away. Shot. I mean, what do you expect? And again, man, I don't think Binnington would have stopped that shot either, but, got to have someone to blame it on, right? So, hey, here's all I know. January 3rd, I had given up and so had everyone else. And here we are. My gosh, guys, here we are with two games left and we still have a shot at being the Central Division champions. How insane, incredible is that? I don't even know what to say. I mean, it's just mind-boggling as a fan to watch a comeback like this and to see this team where they are and how they're playing is just absolutely incredible. So, hey, we got another game coming up tomorrow night. We've got that final game Saturday. And here's the thing. We're one point out, all right? 1 point out of first place. All I know is I hope we're in a position where we have home ice advantage. I think that's going to be a very, very powerful thing, especially playing a team like Dallas, or if we're playing the Predators. I think having home ice advantage is going to be crucial. You know, I'm kind of speechless, guys, and that didn't happen very often. So, hey, if you didn't get a chance here just last week to listen to the annual Live from Minner Arena podcast, I cannot encourage you enough to go back to last week's episode, last Thursday, and to hear some of the antics again. You get Tony Twist, Reed Lowe, and Jamie Rivers together. You never know what's going to come out of their mouth. I can't express enough how much that episode was edited. You had to have been here to heard the unedited version. I think I even blushed as a grown man several times. But, you know, man, here's the cool thing. Hey, Jeremy Rutherford just had a contest for best fan cave in St. Louis. And I had so much hate that I haven't talked to JR about bowing out of the competition. And he talked to me into staying in it. And, you know, I just want to use this as an opportunity. I let everyone know there at our live recording. But, you know, there's a reason that I have Minner Arena. And it's not for me just to brag about what I have. It's about to showcase the Blues, and it's for you guys. It's for fans. It's honestly, it's not just for me. I never built Minner Arena with the intent that I would be the only person seeing it, that I would be the only person watching games in it. I have an absolute blast when people come over. You know, we had a house of, I don't know, 18, 20 people during that podcast. And I'm fortunate, guys. I'm blessed to be able to do that. To be able to have an opportunity to be even on this podcast is a really, really cool thing for a fan. And, man, to the haters, whatever, I don't even hear you. I block that garbage out. Life is too short to let things on Twitter or Facebook get you down. Just block it, knock it out. You know, those people never say that stuff to my face. So, hey, I cannot wait for next week's episode to talk about where the Blues are setting. Once again, go check out Adam Smokehouse. Let them know that Minner Arena sent you. Again, go after a game, Cardinal, Billikens, or Blues, and you get 10% off. And guys, until next week, let's go Blues.
All right. Great stuff as always from Dennis. We appreciate it. You know, he says his voice is going out on him. I can only imagine after watching the game last night what everybody's voice feels like. So good stuff as always from our buddy Dennis Minner. And, of course, thanks again to Adam Smokehouse and their continued support of Blues NHL Podcast and for bringing us live from Minner Arena. Before I go, one last thing I want to bring up. I've got a great friend, great family that I've known for quite some time. Our kids played ball together, you know, hung out with these people over the years, numerous type events and things like that. And it's the Quirin family, Mike and Robin, their son Joel and daughter Nikki. Just great, great family. Their son Michael, who doesn't live in town here anymore. Just had a baby, huge Blues fan, listens from afar, and all Blues fanned out, and they kind of laugh and like to giggle that something I'm doing that their son is a big fan of, so they like to give me a little static about it. But they went out because Michael had his own son, Nicholas Hunter Lanzarini, and they sent me a picture of him newborn in his Blues skull cap. It is the coolest thing I've ever seen, stocking cap, whatever you want to call it, toque. As they would say in Canada. And I'm here to tell you that I got a note from them showing me the pic, telling me he was born on 3/28, and just hoping that he could make his way into Blues NHL podcast history. And so Nicholas Hunter Lanzarini, you are officially in Blues NHL podcast lore. And Robin, I know that you said this, but you know, don't you dare call me grandma, but grandma's in love, I can tell. So great stuff for that family. Mike, thanks for being a fan. I hope you're still enjoying the show and getting your Blues fix. And I hope you enjoyed that game last night. And hopefully there's 15 more of those victories to go and we can have that damn parade, and I'm sure you'll come home for it. So thanks to that family, and thanks to the Quirin family for all their continued support. I want to thank everybody for listening to us and checking us out. You can learn more at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show there. It is free. We're happy to have you guys do so. It means a lot to us when you do that. You can follow us on our social media pages as well. On Twitter, we are at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. We're interested in what you have to say. Find us on Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast. Make sure you've liked our page. You'll see that we'll do a pinned post. That'll be our show. We do it at least a couple times a week, obviously. And when you see it, we ask that you like it, share it, and comment on it. Makes the post more relevant. It reaches more people, and that's how we bring more Blues fans into the base. A lot of you guys do it religiously, and we do want to thank you for it. And don't forget, our Facebook page is part of the contest with Buckingham Pest Control. Don't forget Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast. Like us there. You can find us at lineupmediagroup.fm, the home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform as well. Special thanks one last time to Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com, residential, commercial, or industrial. Our man Randy has you covered. As Randy always says, though, his wonderful daughter Stephanie has it handled. So when you give him a call, let her know what you need. Take a meeting with Randy and feel better about what you're doing. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. To SynergyHockeySkills.com, again, thank you for your continued support. Our friends, NelsonLandServices.com, give them an opportunity for your landscaping services as well. To Adam Smokehouse, I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. St. Louis, here's your cue. To all of our friends at Buckingham Pest Control, remember, they don't kill penalties, just pests, and they pass the savings along to you. Now let them pass on Game 6 tickets to you. That's Buckingham Pest Control. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.